You are listening to the New Vision Church podcast, a community to belong, be loved, and believe.
You are being held hostage, and you don't even know it. But we can free our minds. We can find peace, the kind of peace only available in Jesus Christ.
Hey, New Vision. It's good to see you guys today. We're on location here at Lake Horton, and today I've got my good friend Marshall Ayers from Broken Branches with me. He's going to be sharing about his overcoming addiction. So we're going to walk and talk in just a moment, but he's going to give you a little introduction about himself.
Hey, I'm Marshall Ayers. I am the co-founder of Broken Branches Ministries. It's a ministry where we help restore people with life-controlling problems. My wife and I, Karen is at LPC. So we are into just restoration. And restoration is big in Christianity. And so as we walk and talk, I'll share a little bit more about who I am in the body of Christ. Come on, let's go.
So Marshall, you were saying that you are part of a ministry called Broken Branches. Can you explain a little bit more about what that is and how you got involved?
Yeah, man, Broken Branches was a vision that God gave to me. I went through a ministry called Teen Challenge, which is a faith-based ministry, which life-controlling problems, but more I went there for an addiction. And while I was in the program, I saw how God had worked with men to restore them. And so God gave me a vision of Broken Branches. I'm kind of weird, you know. I was watching YouTube one day, and I could hear God say, look at some birds. And the first thing that came on there was an osprey bird. And so as I saw the osprey bird, the narrator said it lived by a body of water, kind of like out here. And I said, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. And it said his main diet is fish. And I thought, man, fish were in men. So as I start seeing this bird fly back and forth as the narrator was talking, it started taking these branches and it sped up the film and it started building a nest.
Okay.
Out of these broken branches. And so I heard God said, if that bird can build a nest out of broken branches, then you can build a nest out of broken people.
Wow.
And that's how I got Broken Branches.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
I love that story.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a past struggle with addiction.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel like led you into a pattern of addictive behavior?
I think, when I look back up on it, looking at my younger self as a young adolescent, it was my father's approval. I grew up in a household with four other brothers, which I was the eldest. Mm-hmm. And my dad was the type of father who didn't have a lot of patience.
Okay.
My dad was also the type of father who was emotionally detached, meaning that great provider, but not really knowing how to express his love, verbally or physically. And for me, as a young man, I was a little different, and that kind of bothered me. And so I sought his love through playing sports.
Okay.
And I thought, well, if I can't hear it from him, then he could read about me in the papers. And I became this extraordinary great athlete. But when the basketball was over with, I lost my identity. You know, I always thought my identity was in the basketball.
Okay.
But when the basketball was gone, you know, here I am going through a cycle of not knowing who I really am, although I grew up believing in God. But there's a difference in believing in God and knowing God.
Right.
And so I found myself trying cocaine one day, and which led me down a path of addiction. And God kept his hand on me and led me to the ministry of Teen Challenge. And then with that being said, I didn't know how to have any coping skills to deal with everyday life turns. And so cocaine was a way that I turned to, the way to cope with some of the things that of my past. It was like a young man inside a little boy. And I never had the coping skill to identify my emotions as well as deal with my emotions. And so I found myself in this cycle of addiction, you know, and it became my best friend. So you asked me again what made me stay there. And it was just a lot of underlying issues in my life. And I didn't, let's sit down for a minute so I can be real quick. I didn't really get into, in the introduction, I told you about Broken Branches. But who is really Marshall Ayers? And so in order for you to understand my addiction, you have to understand who I am. And for me, growing up in Missouri, you know, coming out of high school in 1985 as one of the top 100 basketball players in the nation, I had gained this reputation. And not only a reputation of sports, but a reputation of being just a good guy in the community, you know, a role model in the community. And so that addiction, you know, knowing people knew who I was, and I was like, Lucifer, how far have you fallen, you know? And I fell. And so when I fell, I just didn't have the courage to confront it because I didn't have any coping skills. And so it made me just stay there, you know? I believed in God, but I really didn't know God.
So would you say that your addiction was tied to a lack of a spiritual connection?
I would say that because it was a game that I did not know how to play. I just thought that maybe I would, you know, I had been to a few rehab places. I thought if I got 30 days clean or maybe 90 days clean, that I'd be okay. But not knowing that addiction is a spirit, you know, and so it's not only a spirit in the spirit where I looked at it as far as spiritually, but it's also in the disease, you know, if we want to look at it clinically. And so, yeah, it was, for me, it was a lack of connection of not knowing who God was. So.
Okay.
Let me ask you this question, because you said you went to rehab a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you were trying to break free from this addiction.
Right.
What do you think really was keeping you from breaking free?
Man, you know, well, first I thought that it was, you know, it was just me, you know, my will. Being an athlete, you know, when you're an athlete, it's about, you know, when you play on Friday or Saturdays or Sundays, it's about your will being better than that man's will, you know.
So you were trying to find strength in yourself.
In myself.
Okay.
In myself. So I was trying to do it within my power.
Okay.
Right? And I didn't understand what an addiction was. Because an addiction, I think most people don't understand that addiction is, it's either a person, it could be a substance, it could be an activity, but it's anything that you have a dependence on, right?
Okay.
And so I was young, you know, I'm in my early 20s, never knew anything really about drugs, just tried it one time, and it just sucked me in, you know?
Now I heard.
Yes, because, you know, I think most people think addicts live out on the street. I went to work every day. I had a job where I was a caseworker at 25 years old. I made good money. I was still going to church, you know?
Wow.
And because I was raised in church, you know, that spirit was warring with inside of me, and I didn't know how to kick it. But what I didn't realize, as in later, is now I'm a substance abuse counselor. So what I didn't realize is that when you go through an addiction, you know, it's neurological.
Okay.
And so it's if I can explain it to you like this, we have something called a circuit reward system, right? And so that controls your emotions. It controls, it rewards you, like, for an example, when you're hungry. Mm-hmm. If you're hungry, you know, your body's going to tell you you're hungry, right? So you're going to eat. And so that becomes a natural behavior that you do over and over and over again. But when you start being on drugs or have an addiction to whatever substance it may be, it hijacks that reward system. And so now your addiction takes over those emotions and is telling you that I need that drug on a consistent basis. Well, at 25 years old, I didn't know what I was experiencing. You know, I just thought that if I could just escape, or if I could just move to another state, or if I could just start over and put myself in a different environment, that I was going to be okay. It was later on in life that I understood that my body had become dependent on this drug, you know? And not only that, I understood the physical part of it, but it's the biological part of it that I didn't understand.
Sure, sure. So what happened in your life that led you to be able to break free from this addiction?
Man, you know, I was blessed with an introduction to Teen Challenge. One night, late night, I'm at the hospital, kind of there to get an excuse so I could miss work. And this older lady spoke into my life and told me what Teen Challenge, short story. And so what happened when I went through the Teen Challenge Ministry for 17 months, it took me out the world. I like to say God took me out the world. It's kind of like I was walking, like, I relate everything to the Bible. That's my life. Mm-hmm. The application of my life is reading stories in the Bible, and that's how I relate in life. So when it says God walked with Adam through the garden, God had taken me out of the world and put me in a ministry to where he could walk with me and where he could renew my mind. Mm-hmm. I'll show you how spirituality goes with addiction. In Romans 12, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be renewed by
your mind,
right? But when you think about that, when you're thinking about addiction as a counselor, what I'm trying to do when I use cognitive behavior therapy, if I use behaviorism, which is alert behavior, I am trying to get them to renew their thinking, to come up with different strategy and coping skills to deal with those problems or triggers when they arise. So if the Bible tells us that we have a body that lives in, we have a body, a physical body, then we have a spirit, that our body, our spirit lives within our body, right? And then we have a soul. Pastor, you know, your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Yeah. And so if addiction is, I just told you the circuit reward system is telling me over and over that I need it in my mind, right? So in the spiritual world, when we say renew your mind, God is telling us to take out everything that we've learned as our sinful nature and learn the things in the kingdom of God. I look at that also as an addiction. Addiction is constantly to renew your mind, to think of those old behaviors. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, right? Mm-hmm. Old things are
passed away.
Yeah, and new things, that's the same way as an addiction. And you tie it into it because the enemy wants your mind, your spiritual mind, mm-hmm. right? Your heart. He wants your will. Wants you to pick your will over God's will. And then he wants your emotions. When you don't know how to regulate your emotions, you get into unhealthy behaviors. And not only that, you make bad choices. And so you can kind of see how it goes hand in hand, you know, because we're trying to change all three things, which I think there's different ways to recovery. It just so happened my way of recovery was through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. So let me ask you this as we kind of wrap up our conversation. How would you say that your walk with God now is keeping you free from addiction and how God has redeemed your past?
Well, you know what? I would say helping others, you know, going places that normal people don't go. You know, I have this saying that it's easy to wear the T-shirt in church, but it's not easy to wear that shirt on the outside. So for me, what keeps me is to going into communities that people don't normally go in. What keeps me is just being humble and being a servant of God. And not only just sharing my story, but looking at people's perspectives from their perspective and being non-judgmental, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so I find myself, if I'm helping people, then it's constantly, I'm healing, you
right,
know.
Right.
And the last question you asked me was,
how's God redeemed your past?
How has God redeemed my past, man? God has redeemed my past. It's funny you say that because he's a God that can take a present situation. And my present situation was always the approval of my dad, right? And he reached back into the past when I think about it, where I was at, that little boy who wanted that approval from his father, that little boy. You know, I read this book called My Father's Child, right? And so he redeemed my past by making peace that I understood that my dad only could give me what he had. And I never, no kid understands that because we have generational curses. So if you're 9 and 10 years old and you ask your mom a question, why doesn't my dad hug me? Or why doesn't my dad tell me he loves me? And your mom gives you the answer, well, his dad was like that. And you don't understand that at 9 or 15. But as I got older in Teen Challenge, and I start to do a little reflection of who I was, and God starts showing me who he was in Christ, I could identify the generational curses that were in my family. And so it helped me to say, you know what? He's forgiven. I'm going to break that cycle, and I'm going to be a better version of a father to my children.
Amen. Well, that's an awesome story, man. I appreciate you sharing with us today. And we appreciate you guys watching at home. Marshall, what would you share with our audience as we wrap up? If someone's struggling with addiction, what would you encourage them to do today?
First, I would ask for you. I always say that you can't conquer what you don't confront. So you have to reach out for help, you know, and reach out to someone that you know that you can trust. You know, there's always a 1-800 hotline for addiction. But, you know, reach out. You know, don't be quiet about it because you can't handle it yourself, you know. I would also say if you're involved in church, you know, get some good pastoral counseling. You know, a closed mouth never gets fed. That's an old saying about my grandmother. But you just reach out to someone because you cannot kick it alone. You can't do it alone. So reach out towards somebody.
So thanks again, Marshall, for sharing your story, man. I really appreciate that. And I know it's going to touch a lot of people's hearts. So I hope that you guys will stick with us. We're going to look at the scripture here for a few minutes and kind of dive into some practical things we can do spiritually to help us overcome addiction. So the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, that we walk in the flesh, and I'm trying to walk slow in the flesh today, but we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And we're going to talk about that word in just a minute. The casting down of arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You see, one of the things that we need to understand about addiction and about being a hostage in this situation is that it's a spiritual battle. And we need to understand what that verse is telling us. We need to quit trying to fight a spiritual battle in a physical way. We cannot fight spiritual battles with physical weapons. And so the physical weapons oftentimes, right, turns into things like pills, or may turn into things like alcohol, or even some activities like sex that we may end up becoming addicted to, trying to fight something that is aching and broken inside. It's important for us to understand that so many people end up with a greater addiction because they're fighting with the wrong weapons. And so what starts out is, oh, I'm just going to take this pill to try to make me feel better, right? Ends up now I've got to take 2 or 3 pills a day, right? What's one drink to try to make me feel better now turns into a whole bottle. And so what ends up as something that we're trying to use to cope with our addictions becomes a greater addiction and ends us up in more bondage and spiritual slavery. You see, the war is a spiritual war. It's not just something that we're fighting in our flesh. It's ultimately, as Marshall was even talking about, right? This is a battle of our mind. And we've got to retrain and sometimes rework our minds because our bodies have become addicted to these things. We turn to medicating instead of eradicating. We turn to just trying to do something to cope and get by. And ultimately, it begins to destroy us. The core issue that we've got to deal with is not just the behavior, right? So many people try to modify their behaviors, but that's not going to change anything. We've got to deal with the core issues. And those core issues could be things like we even wrote on those bags last week, right? When we're talking about, right, wearing the masks, what are we trying to hide? What are we trying to project or cover up, right? We're trying to hide the shame or the guilt. We're trying to hide the fear and the anxiety. We try to mask it in so many different ways. Most addictions begin as coping mechanisms, and they turn into destructive lifestyles. And I think many of us could attest to that fact, that many of us have, you know, maybe we were social drinkers. We just drink, right, to fit in, and then it becomes something that overtakes us. It's not what we ever intended it to be, but it somehow finds a way to become all we want. I would submit this to you, that if we want to find a cure for these addictions, we have to get to the cause. We have to get to the root. And if we're not willing to be honest
and confront those roots, if we're not willing to really call it what it is, and it's sin, it's a brokenness, it's a disease that's going to destroy us. I've said this before, and I want to remind you of it again, that the devil knows your weaknesses, and so you would be wise to know them too. Whatever your struggles are, whatever your weaknesses are things that you need to address and deal with, because if you don't pull down your strongholds, right, that verse we were just looking at says that we need to pull down the strongholds. A stronghold is an addiction. That's a biblical word for addiction. Is a stronghold something that has a hold of your life and it's choking your life out, right? If you don't pull down those strongholds, listen, those strongholds will pull you under. You've got to pull them down before they pull you under. I wonder today what kind of things we can do to help us with pulling down these strongholds. What can we do to fortify our mind, as 1 Peter 1:13 tells us? He says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You see, Peter is telling us we need to fortify our minds. We need to build up certain barriers. We need to build up certain walls to help us, because we're all going to be faced with different challenges, different things that could become addictive behaviors, or different things that might actually grab hold of us and try to choke the life out of us. Now, I've got 3 points today, and what I'd like to share with you is, first of all, what this verse is talking to us about, is that we must prepare our minds for action. You know, it's really easy to forget that we've got to look at God differently and ourselves differently. One of the things that happens with an addiction is we kind of become our own God. We take matters into our own hands. We want to control things. We want to somehow manipulate our world, and that makes us our own God. And so it's really important for us to look at God for who God really is, and then secondly, look at ourselves for who we really are, that we are weak and that we are in need of help. So many people aren't willing to acknowledge that. So let me ask you a couple of questions. What is your view of God today? And how is this addiction replacing God in your life? How is this addiction keeping you from God? How is this addiction affecting your life, and not just your life, but the lives of those around you? And how ultimately is this addiction stealing glory from God? Because that's what Satan is all about, quite honestly. He doesn't care about you. What he cares about is using you to destroy or detract from God and God's glory. So, let me remind you, Satan doesn't care about you. And you need to be careful in buying that lie, that all that matters is you fulfilling your addiction. Let me remind you again of that verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. I have a little part there underlined, and it says this. It says that everything that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. You see, Satan doesn't want there to be any acknowledgement of God in our lives. Satan doesn't care about that at all. And so, number two, this is what I would suggest, is that we need to prepare our surroundings by getting rid of triggers and substances. Anything that might trigger you, anything that might be a substance that you abuse or something that leads you right into this temptation, you need to get rid of it. Prepare your surroundings, right? If you know there's a trigger, right, don't go there. If social media is a place that just, you know, causes you problems, you know what? You need to not just log out, you need to delete your account. Right? You've got to do those kind of things. And I know it sounds drastic, but listen, you have to take drastic measures when you're dealing with an addiction. This is not something that you just play around with. In fact, Romans 13, 14 says this, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh." What does that mean? It means this: don't prepare for it, right? Don't have something that's going to be around that's going to cause you to stumble or fall, or something that's going to entice you into that. And look at this. It says, "Make no provision for the flesh so that you would gratify its desires." right? When we have an addiction, we have something that's pulling us. It's like a magnet trying to draw us in. And so if you have those kind of things laying around or access to, all it's going to do is tempt you and lure you and call you in. So getting rid of these things is not always going to be easy. Those of us who have dealt with different kinds of addictions, right? We all know this. We all know it's going to be difficult. And so you may have to have some form of accountability, right? If someone in your life that you really care about and that cares about you, right, let them know what the triggers are. Let them know what the substances are. Let them know so they can help you and hold you accountable. Even when Lazarus was dead, right? Y'all remember that story? Lazarus dies. He's put into the tomb for 4 days. Jesus comes and he weeps over him, but he raises him from the dead. Okay? So, as Marshall was saying, when he became a follower of Jesus, he got a new life. God calls us from the old into the new. But look at what happens with Lazarus. When Lazarus is risen from the dead, right? Jesus says, now, you guys go in there and unwrap him from those garments, right? Get those grave clothes off of him. Lazarus couldn't do it himself. And this is what we've got to understand. We can't do it ourselves either. We need some help unwrapping the grave clothes. There's nothing wrong with admitting that you have a weakness. In fact, that's a very wise thing to do. But you've got to admit it. You've got to admit that you need some help. Sometimes that's the only way forward. Number three, and finally, prepare yourself for failure and success. Prepare yourself for failure and success, because listen to this. Overcoming an addictive behavior is a process. It's a process. Many are going to fall down on the road to success, but you need to not quit or give up. So many people feel like, okay, I've given my life to Jesus and I should be healed immediately. And you know what? God does do that for some people. They can go cold turkey. They can stop immediately. There's no problem. Sometimes God does deliver people that way. But sometimes it's a process. Sometimes there's rehab. Sometimes there's accountability. Sometimes there's, you know, this long, lifelong process that has to take place. And so don't get discouraged if you don't overcome overnight. Your greatest success might actually take a long time. And so let me encourage you in this way. Make an attempt to help other people. That's one of the things Marshall was talking about, and that's so awesome, is that, you know, he's given his life now to helping other people overcome addiction. And if you're an addict and you're having trouble, listen, maybe one of the things that you can do is try to help prevent other people from going down the same path. But you need to be aware of this, right? I know of friends of mine who've said, you know, I've overcome alcohol, and I just want to go back in and get all my friends, you know, out of the same predicament. But you need to ask yourself this question. Is it wise for me to walk back into a bar if I've got an alcohol problem? Okay, you might not need to witness to them at the bar. You might need to witness to them at your house where there's no alcohol, right? So you got to be wise about this. Helping other people is great, but you need to understand this. Your desire to help isn't always greater than your desire for your addiction, right? And sometimes Satan can use and transform your good intention, right, and lead you to more destruction. You don't offer a steak to a starving lion. And so if you've had success, you've kind of put some addictions at bay, do not tempt yourself. Do not open yourself back up to failure. And so preparing yourself for success means you got to be prayerful, right? Stay conscious. Be praying all the time. Pray without ceasing. Remember that if willpower were enough, you wouldn't have been addicted in the first place. Willpower is not enough. You need a supernatural power, and we tap into that power through prayer. It's not just a higher power that we need, right? We need Jesus. He is the higher power. Higher power has a name, and his name is Jesus. In fact, the name Jesus means, right, my God saves.
And so preparing for success means remembering God and His promises. And today, I want to give you a couple of those promises. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, and He will not let you to be tempted above your ability, but will with the temptation also provide a way of escape that you might endure it." So, if you're feeling tempted, look, God's promised to give you an escape, but you've got to take it. You need to take the escape. Don't play around. You don't stay in a burning building. You get out. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says this, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything." You don't have to be enslaved. You don't have to have an addiction. You just need to submit your will to God's will. I know it's not easy, but John 8:36 says this, that if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Jesus has come to set us free, and our addictions don't have to control us, but we've got to be willing to submit them to God. We've got to be willing to submit ourselves to God. And so my question to you is, are you willing to do that? James 4:7 gives us this final promise that I'll share with you today, that if you will submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Did you catch that? If you will resist the devil, he will run from you. So many times we feel like we've got to do all of this work when maybe the only thing we need to do is stand firm in our conviction. We need to say no once. We need to say no twice. We need to say no maybe 1,000 times. But keep saying no. Stand firm in your conviction, and the devil will flee from you. As Marshall was saying, if you're struggling with addiction, reach out for help. You don't have to fight this battle on your own. In fact, we're not meant to do anything on our own. This is the whole reason that God, when He created Adam, He gave Adam Eve, because He saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone. And so let me encourage you today, don't fight your addictions alone. Reach out for help. I pray that you will have a great Sunday. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's message. And we pray that God will give you strength and help you overcome everything that is struggling in your life. Thanks again. We'll see you guys soon. So thanks so much for joining us today online. And whenever you watch this, it is our prayer that God would use this and our church to minister to you. So would you pray with me? So God, we thank you for this day and this time you've given us. We thank you for Jesus, who is able to set us free of every addiction, every struggle. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in us, renewing our mind, renewing our lives for the glory of Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen.